I'm excited to continue this series, How to Discover God's Will. I'd like to tell you a little story of when I was in school, elementary school, my mom used to send me notes in my lunchbox every now and again. You know, I'd open my lunchbox and it'd be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but it had a note on it. And the note said, "Enjoy your lunch today, sweetheart. I love you, Mom." It was a little note, and that always made me feel really special, and I'm really loved, and felt like Mom was with me kind of in that little moment. And it just kind of added, you know, some real value and significance and just heartfelt sentiment to my day as a little kid in elementary school. I just want you to imagine what it would have been like or how I would have felt if the note went something like this. "Gareth, I really didn't feel like making this today, but because I'm your parent, I have to feed you, so here you go, Mom." Probably wouldn't feel as good. Probably wouldn't feel as special, right? Because there's something about being in a relationship with somebody. You don't want it to just be out of obligation. You want there to be some passion and some love involved in that relationship. All the people that are close to you in your life, your friends, your family, your loved ones, you don't want the relationship to just be out of obligation. Like if you went home one day and your friends threw you a birthday party, you know, and everyone gave you cards and gifts, but everyone on all their cards, it said, "Well, we didn't really want to throw you a party. We just felt like we had to because we're your friends, so we threw you a party." Well, thanks a lot, but no thanks, right? Well, I mean, the worst thing you could ever do is show up on your anniversary with your spouse and you give her flowers or you give him some kind of gift and you say, "Well, here you go. Happy anniversary. I just, you know I have to do this, so you want trouble," right? Act like what you're doing is just out of obligation instead of passion and love, right? So we all know and appreciate the dynamic of having a relationship based upon delight and passion and love rather than just obligation. Now, the same applies to in our relationship with God, right? God said he likes a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver, right? And we look at the way God loves us or God serves us. He didn't send Jesus just because he said, "Well, I guess I'm God, and I guess since I have to care for this creation, let me just go ahead and send Jesus to die on the cross for their sins." No, he says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son," right? So God doesn't just do things out of obligation. God does things out of a place of passion and love. And God wants us to do the same thing. And in the same way that sharing that delight, that passion and love in our relationship with others blesses them because it makes them feel special, it also adds value to our own lives, right? Because you can imagine just being a parent, preparing lunches, and it's like, "Man, I hate this. I know I have to do it, but let me just put this lunch together." Versus, "Man, I really love doing this. I love, you know, making meals for my kids. It may not be much, but I put a lot of love in it. I just really enjoy it." It just adds value to your own life as well. Otherwise, all of your relationships are just going to feel like a chore, right? Everything's a chore. Making dinner is a chore. Making breakfast is a chore. Getting cards for birthdays is a chore. You know, all these things. We don't want to live our lives like it's one big chore, right? We want to enjoy our lives, and part of that joy, part of that meaning and value we have in our lives comes in conjunction with a genuine passion and desire to do the things that we're doing for others. And what I want to share with you today as we kind of continue this conversation about how to discover God's will, I'd like to share a principle with you that will not only help you get clarity in discovering God's will for you, but it will also help you to recover and to reclaim a sense of passion and delight in your relationship with God. How does that sound? Because this is something that we all need, right? We all desire that passion and desire and love in our relationship with God. We don't want to just be praying because we have to, right? Or giving because we have to, or worshiping in church because we have to. We want to have a genuine desire to do these things. And so we're going to kind of talk about both of these things. This principle of how to discover God's will help you to recover and to reclaim that sense of passion that we also desperately want and need in our walk with the Lord. Actually, it comes from a letter to the Philippian church. Paul writes to them. He's the greater context of the letter is he's encouraging them to have the mindset of Christ in the way that they live, to live for Christ in the way that they live selflessly for others. And while he's in the midst of doing that, he shares this one particular principle that I think would be really helpful for us to kind of dig into today together. It comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Why don't we read it together? It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Huh, interesting. So while it is true, and we all know this to be the case, that sometimes when doing the will of God means being uncomfortable, means denying ourselves, right? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. There is a genuine, a very real dynamic of following the Lord where sometimes we have to deny ourselves. But at the same time, the scriptures teach us that God is at work in us to give us a desire to do what pleases him, right? And so when we're talking about discovering God's will, one of the tools we can have in our tool belt of discernment, if you will, is to be looking out for the ways in which God is working in our heart to give us what I would call God's burden, a burden from God, a desire from God, a drive, a passion from God to do something that honors him. Does that make sense? So if you were to break this down, this particular verse, all right, this is kind of the point of the verse, all right? God's plan for you often begins with God's burden in you. God's plan for you often begins with God's burden in you. And I'd like to give you some examples of how this works in the scriptures. So we're going to talk about how does God give you a burden? How does God work in you to give you the desire to do what pleases him? Because if I can identify the desires that God is giving me, desires that honor him, it will help me to discern, to sift through what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Make sense? Okay, so how does God give us these desires? There's four things I want to share with you. One is how you're wired. How you're wired can be one of the ways that God gives you his burden, the way God made you. Oftentimes we look at Moses and we think Moses received his call to deliver the Israelites when he was at the burning bush, right? That's what we're taught, right? Talk to me, right? Okay, just want to make sure you're alive today. But we often look over the fact that long before Moses got to the burning bush, there was an instance where he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of his fellow Israelites. Do you remember what happened? What happened? He killed him. That's in Exodus chapter 2. It talks about that story, how Moses saw this Egyptian mistreating one of his fellow Israelites, and he just had this burden. He did not like to see his people mistreated and oppressed. And so he took that burden and used it in a negative way and killed the guy, right? But God later on draws on that burden that he had to be a deliverer of his people to send him to Pharaoh, right? So God will often give you a burden, and maybe you've been using that burden in a negative way, but God will draw on that burden to send you in a direction that honors him. Does that make sense? And this is kind of what repentance is. Repentance is turning around, right? Your life was going this way, and now you're saying, Lord, I'm going to go this way with my life. And so the burden, the way that God made you, the way God wired you, there are things in you already that indicate his calling and his purpose and his plan for you. It's just a matter of directing that energy, directing that burden in a direction that honors the Lord. So that is one way that God will give you a burden, is just the way you're wired, things that you are naturally passionate about. And we see that in the book of Exodus. Another way that God gives you a burden is your upbringing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Your upbringing many times is not coincidental. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the author is telling Timothy, I see in you the faith that was first in your grandmother, Lois, then it was in your mother, Eunice, and now it is in you. Right? So there was a faith that was passed down. When we talk about faith, we're not just talking about belief that someone exists. We're talking about a trust that leads one to action. right? Faith without works is dead. So true faith is a trust in God that leads to action. And Paul is telling Timothy here, there's a faith in you. There is a drive in you to trust God and to take action on that trust that was first in your mother and then in your grandmother. So there may be things in your upbringing. Maybe your home was always open to people in the neighborhood. My father likes to tell me the story of how his parents, my grandparents, always had people over from the neighborhood for dinner. Everybody was family. Everybody was his brother and his sister. And that's something that kind of drove him in his life, where he just had a natural inclination to reach out to people who were in need and to invite them into his home. That was a burden that he received in his upbringing, but was an indication of the way God wanted to use him to forward his mission in the world. Right? So what are the burdens that you have that honor the Lord that come from your upbringing? That could be an indication. That wasn't just a happenstance. That was something that God probably gave you to show you how he wanted you to use your life for him, your upbringing. Number three, your gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about how God gives us all gifts, and God is working in us. There's a manifestation of the Spirit that is used in us for the common good. And these gifts can span across different ways. Like maybe when music comes on, you just have to dance. Like my daughter, when music comes on, she has to move. There's no question. She has to start moving or start singing, right? Or you may have an apt to teach, right? I can tell in my son loves to teach. He's just a natural teacher. He's always teaching his little sister things. Maybe you're an encourager. You're just a natural. No one has to ask you to encourage people. You just do it. It's a gift, right? So what are the gifts that God has given you that you have a burden to share? You just have to share it. You just have to express it. There's something in you that you have to do. What is that gift? That is a burden from God to give you clarity on how he wants you to use your life for him, your gifts. Last one, your past experiences. Past experiences. If you remember in the Gospels when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman and he told the Samaritan woman, you're having relationships with all these men and they're not your husband. Remember that story? And what does the Samaritan woman do? She goes back to her town and she has to tell the story. Come and meet this man who told me all about my life. You have to meet this man. And there may be something that has happened in your past, in your experience with God, in your relationship with God, a testimony that you just have to get out. You just have to share it with other people. You have to tell other people how good God has been to you, what you've experienced with the Lord. That burden is not by happenstance. That is a burden from God to give you clarity on how he wants you to use your life for him, your past experiences. It could be something that you learned. We look at the prophet Jeremiah. He said the word of God was like fire shut up in his bones. He said, I have to let it out. There's maybe something you learned in the scriptures and you just have a burden to share it, sharing what you learn with other people. We're on the tail end of celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Did you know that? And the Reformation was when Martin Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and others revolutionized, reformed the way people understood Christianity and what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to follow the Lord, what it meant to be the church. And they just had something they had to share. Martin Luther just had something. He had a burden, even though it was going to cost him a lot, cost him his reputation, cost him his safety. He said, I have to share this with somebody. And he took that in those 95 theses and he nailed it on the door, right? So it might be something that you've learned that you just have a burden to share with someone else, or a truth that you have to share, even though it might cost you your safety, or even though it might cost you your reputation, you just have a burden to share something for the Lord. That is an indication of how God wants you to use your life for him. That is a burden from God. God working in you, giving you the desire to do what pleases him. All right, so let's review all these four things. How the ways that God places his burden in you, how you're wired, your upbringing, your gifts, your past experiences. And sometimes these burdens work together, right? Because there may be something that you learn that you have to share and you want to use your gift to tell what you've learned, right? Or there's a past experience that you've had and you want to use a gift to tell your story. Sometimes they work together, but these are different ways that you can be on the lookout. How is God working in me? How is God giving me his burden for me to live for him? And let's keep in mind, this is God's burden. This is not our burden. This is not us going to God saying, this is what I want to do for you. This is my dream of how I want to live for you. No, no, no. This is trying to identify what God is working in us, the desires God is giving us, his burden that he's working in us for us to live for him. Right? And so if you're trying to make a decision in your life, you're trying to determine, do I go left or right, or do I go this way or that way? Sometimes having a good idea of the burdens God has given you will give you clarity on whether or not you should be moving in that direction. Does this decision fall in line with the burdens God has given me in terms of how my life is meant to participate in God's mission in the world? Or is this a detraction from the burdens God has given me? Because everybody has a lane, right? We're a body. Everybody's different. We all have unique experiences and talents and things to share with other people. And so sometimes we feel like we have to be a certain way in order to be used by God. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we don't think the burden we have is really important. Right? There's some folks, I had a friend in seminary who said he just had a passion to reach out to the surfer community. He was going to start a surfer church. A church right on the beach to surfers, right? Doesn't sound like something, oh, yeah, that's all right. You know, that sounds kind of like, really? You know, kind of strange. But that was his burden, you know? And sometimes we discount the burdens God has given us, not realizing that this is heaven's agenda, not our agenda, right? And so if we kind of just trust those burdens that God has given us, and we follow those burdens, we'll see God move in great and spectacular ways, you know? There are people out there, there are surfers out there who need Jesus too. There are bikers out there who need Jesus. There are all kinds of people out there, and people have burdens for particular groups of folks, and we need people like that, right? And just because you may not be called to stand on a stage with a microphone in your hand, but that doesn't mean you're not called of God. Doesn't mean you're not a minister, right? We're all called. We're all the people of God. We're all a part of the body of Christ, right? And the kingdom of God is a team sport. So I just want to encourage you in terms of how you apply this message to your life. Remember, the big point, the big idea from today's message is God's plan for you often begins with God's burden in you. So in applying this to your life, I just want you to be praying about, Lord, what are the burdens you've given me? Right? And don't put any, don't place any particular value on those burdens. Just assume that they're all important. Don't compare yourself with other people. Just say, Lord, what are the burdens you've given me? Whether it be through my upbringing, whether it be through my past experience, whether it be through my gifts, right? Or just the way I'm wired. What are the ways that you are working in me, giving me a desire to do what pleases you? Because you know what? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God has placed out a plan, works for us to do before we were even born. It says that God has put a path before us, before our feet, to walk in. Before we were even born, God had a plan for us. And so these burdens that you're praying about is something that's been on God's mind for a long, long time. And if anything, that should let you know that these burdens are valuable, that this passion, these passions that God has given you are valuable. All right? And then as you're praying about that, I want to encourage you to write them down. Right? Write them down. Because you're more likely to do something with it if it's written down. Right? So can you do that today? Can you just be praying about that this week? Lord, what are the burdens that you've given me? What are the passions you've given me? And then write them down and just say, Lord, what next? What do I do with this? Because that will give clarity with how God is leading you in your life. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you take the initiative in working in us to allow us to participate in your mission in the world. Thank you for the ways in which you don't look at how qualified we are, how perfect we are. You just give us these desires to do your will because you want us all to partner with you in spreading your gospel and doing kingdom work in the world, whether it's in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the schools, in our workplace, in our families. Lord, I just pray for clarity, Lord, for my brothers, my sisters, as they seek to connect with the work that you're already doing in them, the work that you started a long time ago that's meant to direct their lives in the direction you've called them to. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity that will come through these prayers, through their prayers as they seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm just going to give you a few moments to reflect and just to pray about what you've heard today. And you've got next steps on your connection card that you can fill out as you reflect and pray. And I'll be back in just a few minutes.